Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Now, for decades, Bill Cosby brought warmth and laughter across the country, cementing his image as America's dad. But behind that disguise was the real Bill Cosby, the monster who preyed on women by promising them mentorship, only to drug and violate them. Well, in the introduction that you heard me play earlier, you will have recognised a name, and she's sitting on the opposite side of the desk, which must be very weird for you. Welcome, Stacey Pinkerton.
Hello, Selena.
Hello. It's lovely to have you on this show. That voice we all recognise. Now, we've just been chatting about this briefly. For legal reasons, I have to say the word allegedly. What are you alleging that Bill Cosby did to you? And then you can correct me and explain why I probably don't need to use that word at all.
Yeah, the only time that my heart just fitter flatters a little bit is just hearing the word alleged.
And I can understand that. I understand that. And you know that I believe you and all the other women totally, 100%.
Yes, well, it's not alleged, but I pointed that out in the victim impact statement I did not want to use the word alleged. I was drugged and sexually, well, raped. I don't even want to say sexually assaulted. That's one thing that I'd like to change in the future, if it's possible, is to take the word sex out of these instances, because sex has nothing to do with
it. Sex is a beautiful thing, isn't it?
Yeah,
if it's used right. Yeah, so. Indeed.
Anyhow, I have no problem talking about this. I know people have more difficulties asking questions about it. They don't know how to handle it. They don't know what to say. And it gets this little tight chest.
Well, we're friends, so it's just like us two having a chat over a coffee and you telling me all about it. So I feel fine, but you have said very kindly that if anyone has any questions, any of our listeners for Stacey, I think it's amazing that you're willing to answer any questions they have. Can you tell us in your own words what you are saying happened?
What happened is in 1986, I went on the Cosby Show. I had met him previously on a flight that I was on in first class, and he had invited me to the Cosby Show. I was working as well as a model, so he wanted to mentor me. We struck up a conversation. He built up a confidence, as he did with, I have learned later out through the years, that he did this with the other women as well, and he just abused and used his power to gain that feeling of confidence, lying, and most of them were drugged, and some of them were raped or sexually assaulted in different forms. And what happened to me was, and it's not alleged, I was raped, and found myself one morning after a dinner I woke up hearing the sounds of him snoring, and looked and saw his face, and snuck out trying to Well, I was afraid for my life, actually, mm-hmm. and just got out of the room. And the thing is, it was all of this play, this game, which is talked about in the book of Chasing Cosby, which is by Nikki Wasinski Egan. And he had this game going on and this charades, and there were so many enablers. Mm-hmm. And we have to acknowledge that it takes a village of enablers to help a serial rapist. And that is one thing that people don't ever want to address or talk about. And it's difficult hearing stories of sexual assault. They're more frequent than anyone imagines. I do not believe the statistics. That's more frequent than I mean, everyone knows someone who has been sexually assaulted or raped.
Yeah.
And then we go down towards, farther down the line to children and how it goes up from there, which is what I'm working on, which I'll be happy to explain you about a little later on.
Yeah,
but
yeah. Well, you know what, Stacey? I'm just going to ditch the word allegedly because I know that he raped you. And that's it. I might get into trouble, but I know that he did it, and I know that he did it to all those other women. I've listened to the podcast. I've seen everything. All these 50-plus women aren't going to come out and say it.
Yes.
If it didn't happen, it's ridiculous.
Actually, there were 63 that we know of. Yes, 63 that we know of. We don't know if something has happened to some of the women. Possibly so. I mean, this happens when you drug someone without them knowing, which that's what happened to me. He put something in my dinner. You have to think about it. I went to a dinner with him, an event, and was not alone with him. And he put something in my food.
But I didn't
realize at the time. I mean, some of the women, yes, they took things thinking it was a vitamin or something to help them relax, as he said. I didn't. I was having dinner, and just it all started from there. And
were these Quaaludes? Because we don't hear of Quaaludes. I think it's more of an American medication, is it?
I don't know. I don't know what he admitted to giving Quaaludes,
yes,
to women to have sex with them.
I saw that, yeah.
But I was not given anything. He put it in my food or drink.
Right.
And I did not realize this. And this was kind of the sad thing when it all came about and I found out about the other women. Of course, to bring you up to kind of date, it's the reason I moved to Spain in 1989. And I was just running and fleeing, and because it was the best thing for me at the time. And I just thought, there I don't have to see him. No one knows who he is. Still, I was talking to someone yesterday who didn't know about the story. They don't know who he is. And
in America and the UK, he was on the TV all the time as Heathcliff Huxtable, the number one dad. It was complete farce, wasn't it? None of us knew.
Well, this is a problem that a lot of people have, is they tend to think that the person that they are portraying, the image, is who they are, mm-hmm. and it's all fictitious.
Yeah, of course.
But at the time when I went to be on the Cosby Show, still, I mean, I was leery then at that time, but everything was perfect. That's what predators do. They know how to play the game and to gain your confidence, and then when the right moment, do what it is that they can. I want to say that I said no. I did fight him, and I was not able to fight him. I used every excuse in the book. I even had training for hostage situations, which I tried to use, but I was under the effect of the drug, and I was pushed down on the bed, and I talked about his wife, that my boyfriend at that time was waiting for me. I was ran over by a taxi cab just a few weeks before as a pedestrian in Chicago. And I used that as an excuse. This was all within a matter of a few seconds. It's amazing what you learn with radio, too, how fast time goes. Yeah. And you know how many seconds are in a minute by each little second.
Yeah.
But it seemed like a long time, but it wasn't. And so...
And nothing would stop him. I mean, Camille, his wife, stayed with him anyway, didn't she? So mentioning his wife obviously didn't stop him from doing what he did to you.
No.
Odious man.
It didn't matter. And I thought at the time I Actually, I told people. I told many people.
Okay.
And something to let your listeners know is that I did go to the detectives. And when I found out about the other women, when it happened, I had told many people, including a police officer. I told my lawyer. I told so many people. I gave the names of 25 people or more to the detectives to collaborate me as a witness. And I, you know, at that time, people just looked at you like you were nuts and crazy. Mm-hmm. And when I was escaping when I remember after this happened, and it seems that a lot of people, especially with the media, they don't really want to get to the root of the problem, and they don't want to cover the whole story. They just like to cover, you know, okay, yeah, she was raped and that, but you've got to go past that, and you've got to think about what all happened before, what all happened after, and how someone can get away with this and for so long. And back to the enablers that I mentioned before.
And the power he must have had and the money.
Well, yeah, that was the thing. When I was coming down from the room where I found my, I woke up and he was there next to me, and I don't even know if I was dressed. I don't even know what I was wearing, but I just remember that I wobbled kind of down the stairs, and I told them to call the police.
And did they?
No. They went and they asked me what for, and I said, just call the police. And they didn't. They went in the back room, and I got impatient. I was scared. I was under the effect of the drugs still, whatever it was. I don't know if it was Quaaludes or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I held down a taxi myself. And the taxi driver came, and I said, you know, take me to the police station. And he says, you know, what precinct? You know, what's it for? And he gave me those, you hear about this 5-second rule type of thing. Well, it's so accurate.
Yeah.
I had enough time to realize that I thought at the time, I don't want to be in the headlines. The press is going to eat me alive. Do I have the money to fight him? No. Do I want to ruin my reputation forever? Because no one spoke out at the time. This is in 1986. Everything was no and no. And then the taxi driver keeps asking me, you know, well, where do I take you? What's it for? You know, he could see that I was,
distressed, I should imagine.
Yeah. I mean, you know, crying, the look, I don't even know how I wasn't wearing, obviously, what I left in, and I found this out later, the taxi driver says, you know, what precinct, ma'am, what precinct, and I said, just take me home, mm-hmm. And then I told my boyfriend what happened, that I was attacked, and he said that it was really late in the morning, like 4 or 5 in the morning when I came in. No, I went to dinner probably at 5 or 6 o'clock in the afternoon, and anyhow, I told a lot of people, a lot of friends, co-workers, as I said, police officer, lawyer, and no one guided me in the right direction. No one told me, well, you know, no one talked about statute of limitations. I didn't even know about statute of limitations until 2014, mm-hmm. when I found out about the other women. And
can you explain to us what statute of limitations means then?
Well, I don't know how it is in Europe, and I don't think all the countries in Europe have statute of limitations. Statute of limitations means that you have so many years to claim to be able to go to court and fight the person. And the thing is, we need to change the system because it's set up to protect these perpetrators and to shame victims.
Yeah.
Only that. So statute of limitations, for example, in some states is 10 years. But I didn't know about this. And by the time I found out about the other women, it was okay. It's past the statute of limitations. You have no case.
And is that why, because it's all started coming out with Andrea Constand?
Yes.
He's in prison, if I understand it right. He's in prison because he did attack her, he did rape her, and that's why he's serving a sentence now. But all you other 63 women, can you not do anything because of this statute of limitations?
No. No. See, Andrea Konstad was the only one who had that. She was within she that was time within limit. Time limit, and she had gone before, and no one wanted to prosecute.
Right.
And then when the new prosecutor came in to office, Kevin Steele, he wanted to reopen the case, and that's when this happened all and started the whole whole.
That seems ridiculous. This statute of limitations. I mean, it doesn't matter when it was. He did what he did.
Correct. But you know, when you're talking about sexual assault, this is why it's so important, education and being able to discuss these topics openly, which I try to do. And it's because these things are very intimate. They're very private. And I mean, you can prove someone murdered someone. Mm. You can call the police and say, you know, someone stole my broke in and stole my things. And no one questions that. You can't question a dead body. You know that it's dead. But how can you prove that you were sexually assaulted or raped and drugged when no one is testing you, when no one is believing you, when there was no system back then that, I mean, I honestly think, Selena, that if it would have not been Bill Cosby, if it would have been some other person who, you know, because rapes don't happen with people who just jump out of the bushes like you hear and see on these crime shows. Generally, they are people that you know.
Yeah.
People, and that's the whole game. They gain the confidence, you trust, and then these things happen. How, you know, and then testing. In something like that.
Yeah.
I have found out later that through speaking with the other women that and often they test you vaginally, but that's not always how you're raped.
Mm, right. Okay.
You know, so okay. How it's the system is broken.
Yeah, it needs to
and
be
we've
changed.
Got to stick together and try to change the system.
Yeah, indeed. And did you and the other women or a lot of the other women went to Andrea Konstad's trial?
Yes. I did not go to the trial at the time. And actually, it's kind of odd. At this time, and this was really difficult for me, you know, I was here on Talk Radio Europe.
Yes, and none of us knew because you weren't allowed to talk about it.
Right. I was not allowed to talk about it because I was to be a witness in the trial if the judge allowed us to all speak, which is another thing that I really think needs to be changed. When there are so many witnesses that come out, you need to hear from them.
Mm-hmm.
And this is in all cases. But I did go to the sentencing and I did speak out publicly for the first time after the sentencing at the victim's impact statement with all the press there. And it was a scary time.
I'm sure. And he got 10 years. Is that correct? Last year?
No, he got 3 to 10 years for one case. And this was in condition that he acknowledged what he did. The jury in the second trial did find him guilty. So the judge sentenced him 3 to 10 years for the case of Andrea Konstad, not for all of the others, not for those who were to be witnesses or anything. Mm-hmm. We didn't have a case. We could only prove that he had a pattern, and this is what he did to other people, mm-hmm. whether you call it alleged or not. It was to prove a pattern. People are saying, you know, that that's not right, that they shouldn't be able to do that, but you have to be able to do that, mm-hmm. Especially when it comes to characters as such. And anyhow, it's...
Yeah. And Nikki Egan, Weissnig Egan, she's the one that's done this podcast, Chasing Cosby. Is it from the book? Did you say there was a book as well?
Well, the podcast is a Los Angeles Times podcast called Chasing Cosby, and it's hosted by Nikki Weissnig Egan, and it's a 6-part series. Yesterday came out part 5 of the series. If you like true crime... It is
about as true as it gets.
It is quite chilling, but it's important, I think, for everyone to listen to. It was hard for me to listen to the other stories, but I did grasp that moment to say, okay, I've got to do this. And I listened to it's very well. It's a production that's I think it's done quite well. Of course, when you have such a short time and you can't include all of the people, you know, you have to cut out a lot of things. And it only briefly touched on topics, which hopefully there will be a documentary or docuseries out later. But as I said, it was a Los Angeles Times podcast, and the production was Los Angeles Times Studio and Herzog and Company. And the producer is Alexandra Zaslow, and she did a great job in dealing with this. And it was hard for these people to sit behind and listen to these stories, too. And I remember when I was sitting there talking, the makeup artist was sitting there in the chair just crying, and I looked at her and I said, "You've got to stop, you're going to make me cry." Aww. But it was it was an emotional experience, more so for some, but something that's so important and needed to be done and talk about. And
it must have been sort of horrible, because you don't want anyone to go through what you went through. But in a way, you've been carrying this around for all these years, probably thinking you were the only one.
Oh, I did.
And then all of a sudden, all these women come out. Did you immediately just get in touch with them?
No, actually, when that happened, it was the end of 2014. I received a message, I think it was by Facebook. Remember, I told you at the beginning, I shared my story with a lot of people.
Yeah.
And throughout the years, and especially if I became intimate with someone, I thought, this is something I've got to let you know about. This is what I went through. Because you find out, you learn a lot about yourself and who am I? And you learn to handle these situations and live in the present. But when these people came, because I was able to kind of put it off to the side, block it out of my mind, I came to Spain, got on with my life. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was there, but I would always just say, you know, he's not the person you think he is. But I didn't have to live in it. When that came out and they told me about this another case, and that there were other people, I didn't know how to handle it. I was having a lot of anxiety. And then where do you go? Who do you trust? Who do you turn to? Who's handling the other cases? I didn't know where to go. I didn't know who Gloria Allred was. Mm-hmm. I didn't know. I spent time looking and thinking, okay, I've got to be a part of this. I've got to help. And I felt, of course, I felt guilt too, because I didn't want it to be in the press and the headlines. And as I said, I did tell a police officer, but I said, you know, I don't want it to be. Well, I mean, with who it was, with someone so popular, so powerful, so much money, so much celebrity status, that, you know,
makes you wonder if you would have got anywhere, even if you'd have tried to pursue it. I doubt, with it being him, whether you'd have got anywhere back then. Makes you wonder.
Oh, I'm sure I would have just been slashed in the headlines. And that you didn't. The thing is, you know, they didn't even drug test you then, when you reported a rape. Mm. And I didn't even think about it. I just all these years thought it was my brain's way of blocking it out.
Mm. Well, you were very young, though, weren't you, when it happened as well? Yeah. And looking to the future. Which is great. I think you're extremely brave, Stacey. I really do. But you said that you're helping others now, other people in similar situations. You mentioned children.
Well, yes. Right now, I'm trying to change the system, and I would like to remove the statute of limitations in the states that have statute of limitations. Some of the women have succeeded in removing this in a few of the states, but there are other states. And if you start looking at the laws, it's horrible. I mean, it's not, some of them don't even have 10 years, it's less. And then some of them have the age limit of like 14.
Yeah.
So why doesn't it matter if you were older? I mean, because it takes time for people to be able to process and go forward when they are ready. And that's one thing. So I would like to, and I'm working on this, to help in education with the children, where they're able to speak out, because often it happens in families as well. And I mean, who do you go to?
Yeah.
So I'm working on that. And on April 2nd, I'm speaking at President Clinton Library School of Public Service.
Wow.
Yes, at 12 noon, and then it will be live streamed. And I'm telling my story and trying to address the issues that need to be changed. And there's a lot of questions and answers after that as well. And so that's working along with the state coalition against sexual assault. And I'm trying to get people to listen more and realize that you can't judge. I mean, we talk about this in every aspect, but people always criticize and judge. They're quick to judge. And then communication is so, so important. And you know that this happens from the youngest of children on up, and it's just a thing of power.
Yeah.
That's all
yeah.
it is. It has nothing to do
Indeed.
With sex. And then I also want to work on people who have had this, where they are able to take back, if it is a woman, to take back their feminine capital and enjoy, you know, sexual relations, because it's a beautiful part of life.
Yeah.
So, and a lot of these women have never had intimate relationships after that. And another thing that I have been doing is talking to criminology departments. You know, I spoke in my home state to the Criminal Institute, and one of the law enforcement persons who was there listening to me, he says, "Why is it that so many women afterwards are promiscuous?" And I said, "You can't say that, because maybe some are and maybe they're not. Maybe some have never had another relationship. They have, yeah. It takes away trust." So he says, "Well, why do you think that some are promiscuous?" And I told him, I said, "I think it's kind of like when you fall off a bicycle and you want to get back on so you don't have a fear of riding a bike." And that's, I think, what they're trying to do, so that they enjoy something that needs to be enjoyed in their life.
What an absolute shame. And so many lives that have been ruined. Not yours. You're a survivor. You're a complete survivor.
I'm a survivor, but it did have its toll. And I think the worst time for me, of course, apart from when the rape happened, and another thing was, I never was able to use the word rape before. Mm-hmm. I just used attacked. Afterwards, I had found that it was really horrible to be silent again, because I really wanted to get it out for my own healing, and I was silenced because of the court case. I knew that it was a good thing to do, but I suffered a lot of trauma in that, you know, through different things, nightmares. A lot of the women, some ended up with depressions. Look at sexual assault in general. A lot of these people end up with drug addictions,
yeah.
And it's a vicious circle. That people and chronic pain.
Yeah.
Chronic
yes,
pain.
That can come out in physical form, can't
right,
it?
Right.
Yeah.
So you've got to address the root problem. And I think doctors need to ask always,
yeah.
You know, what's, you know, has something happened? And hopefully, with us speaking out, they feel that they're able to speak out. We're kind of going down that new...
Yeah, well, the Me Too movement and everything. It's a lot better than it used to be.
Well, actually, the Cosby survivors were the ones that started that movement.
Yeah.
Not intentionally, but it all came out after.
Yeah.
So we... I guess someone compared me to Rosa Parks, and I was like, I'm not Rosa Parks by any means, but I understood what they were talking about.
Making
and people are just so happy that someone is speaking out for them, and you wouldn't believe, Selena, the stories that people are still sharing with me today, and it's, you feel, well, they're grateful. That's all I can say,
yeah.
is they're very grateful that we did have the courage to... step forward and speak out about it. So,
well, I think you're amazing. I think all the other women are amazing, including Andrea, and you're a lady. Thank you so much for being brave enough and talking about it. I can't imagine how hard it must have been. I love you loads. Stacey Pinkerton.
Thank you, Selena, for having me on the program and for addressing this issue.
Hopefully we'll see you on TRE soon.
Yes, very, very soon.
Yay!
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.